What's better than this, guys? Being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Thursday edition of the show. It's time to start talking about final positional rankings for the 2019 NFL Draft, and we're going to start doing that here on today's show. Kyle, welcome.
What's up, Joe? Just don't mind me. If you hear me humming, it's just Old Town Road, okay?
Yeah. So we've had two different conversations today on the phone before we even recorded this podcast. The first one, you greeted me with that song playing.
Yeah.
I thought you weren't on the other end of the line. You were just getting it queued up.
No, I actually had it all queued up. I had my microphone muted and it was playing and I forgot to unmute my microphone. And then it just kind of came roaring in.
Yeah.
Once I unmuted my mic.
And then you revealed to me that you are listening to the one-hour loop of Old Town Road on YouTube.
The Billy Ray Cyrus version.
Man, this is between this and Game of Thrones kicking off on Sunday. I mean, your life has got to be good. You finished a draft guide, the great new song, your favorite TV show.
No, right now I'm just worried about Old Town Road.
Focus on the things I can control.
It got me through my last two nights of publishing, so...
Oh,
it's ingrained into my brainwaves at this point.
Do you want to know what's gotten me through my reports this year?
Yeah, I would love to know.
I'm not going to tell you the last 2 years because that does not need to be public knowledge. But the Brooks and Dunn. I'm guessing you not familiar, couldn't name a song, but
sounds like a men's suit store.
They're a very famous country. They're like the Florida Georgia Line of 90s country.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I like Florida Georgia Line.
Yeah, me too. Well,
they're pretty good.
Pretty good. So this was like, they were like the original. Well, I'm sure there's somebody that predates them, but like this was like the first like big time duo in country music. And I've just been ripping through their old songs for days now. Previous 2 years. Yep. Not telling you.
Why? Because I'd make fun of them.
No, just be a little surprising. I think maybe I've told you this, but I think you would remember if I did tell you though.
Okay. We'll talk about it off the air.
Yeah. This is an off the air conversation. On the air, we're going to talk quarterbacks and running backs today. And, let's do it. What do you want to do?
I like our format here.
Yeah.
You know, you and I, when we called originally and I took my horse to the Old Town Road, we talked about how we wanted to present this information because we've laid out the calendar from now until the draft, Joe, and we have the calendar booked every single day between now and draft day as far as what our content plan is for Draft Dudes. So today we're doing quarterbacks and running backs, so backs, offensive backs. Tomorrow will be pass catchers, wide receivers, and tight ends. Monday will be offensive line. Then we have takes on takes. And then we have defensive line on Wednesday. Linebackers on Thursday. Friday is defensive backs. And then we're bumping takes on takes to Monday the 22nd. And then we're doing Battle of the Board Super Show, two-parter on Tuesday and Wednesday before the draft on the 25th.
Lit.
So what we've done is we've decided, okay, how do we want to present this information? Because it needs to be a different experience than Battle of the Boards, which if you guys are new to Draft Dudes, Battle of the Boards, Joe and I just tear each other's big boards apart. just shit all over them.
We're going 2 days this year too.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be bad. But so what we're going to do is we're going to read in reverse order 5 through 1 of our top five at each position. We'll take turns announcing who those players are. We will then we'll provide some substance during that conversation as well. Then we'll read through the entire list. This is my full list. And then we'll talk about one day three player that we would pound the table for at each position.
Ready. I'm ready for it.
Okay, so since you won the dueling mocks, would you like me to read first here for quarterbacks?
Yeah.
So reveal my five first.
I do want you to go first.
Okay. My five, if you guys downloaded your free copy of the 2019 NFL Draft Prospectus, you know this already. But if you didn't, I'm going to reveal my number five right now. You can swing over to draftnetwork.com and download that free 320-page draft guide if you would be so inclined as well, is Will Grier from West Virginia, which is interesting because I've spent the last couple of months talking about Will and the dynamics of his play and what I like and what I don't like, and I really struggle to find like what that offensive system is that allows him to be a quality starter in the pros. But ultimately, Will has enough hot stretches in his game, and he's got enough cojones, if you will, that I really like those components of Will. And I think Will's like an ideal backup quarterback. He's a little wild, right? I don't think he plays particularly well within structure unless it's a lot of off coverage and easy reads. But he's a gamer. He's really tough. I like that he has a little bit of mobility to him. I like that he's not afraid to take some chances. And I think West Coast offense for him is where you really minimize some of his issues. But I don't think he has the overall consistency with his ball placement skills and throwing mechanics to be a high-level starter there. So that just means this isn't a great quarterback class, but we knew that already. So Will Grier is my QB5.
All right. My QB5, Jordan Tiamu, quarterback from Ole Miss. Yeah. Really like what I saw here. And I think what I sided with over, because, you know, when after number five for me, you get into the Will Greers and the Ryan Finleys and the Jarrett Stidhams and those types of prospects. And I think what I appreciated most about Tiamu is maybe some untapped potential here, because when you watch him play, from just a throwing perspective, he's so clean with his mechanics. I think his ball placement's pretty solid. He gives you the frame and athletic ability that you really like. And he came from this high school offense that Ole Miss ran. And I do think it revealed some issues with maybe field vision and understanding coverage rotations. But when I can get him in more of a progression style system at the next level with some development, and you know, NFL caliber coaching, I think that there's just a ceiling here that's intriguing to me more so than the Will Greers and the Ryan Finleys and those types of prospects. And so those reasons really elevated him to be outside of the tier of where I really see starting potential. So for me, Jordan Tiamu, he's a fourth round grade. So, I mean, it's not like he's somebody I'm really enamored with, but I just feel like there's more intrigue with him than a lot of these other quarterbacks in this portion of the draft.
You see a little Marcus Mariota in him?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of when I watched, my initial reaction was like, wow, like the mobility is definitely there. He's got a big time arm. He can push the ball down the field when he wants to. He's just much more rough around the edges and had the benefit of throwing to two potential first round wide receivers and another guy in DeMarcus Lodge, who's probably a round four or five guy, but he's really, really likable in his own right. So,
and super high character. Like, he's a guy that the coaches there rave about, teammates rave about him. And so, I mean, you just kind of put that all together and say, hell, why not?
Okay. So what was your, was anybody like close, or was it Tiamu and then big drop?
So for me, I mean, I have three other quarterbacks graded in the fourth round, but he's, I guess, a higher four, where the others are kind of bordering on a four or five.
Okay. Now I'll take my four here. This is Daniel Jones for me. The dynamics of this one through four have really shifted for me throughout the entire process. There was one point when I first got done watching all four of these guys. This was back in, because I'm eager on quarterbacks. I gobble them up early in the process because I enjoy watching them. And there was a lot of intrigue in this year's class for me. Sometime around the Senior Bowl, going into the Senior Bowl, I had watched and noted all these guys, and I had Jones third, Drew Lock fourth. Jones was the one when I watched the tape the second time, I felt exactly the same way I did the first time. I have a third round grade on Daniel Jones. He's my 63rd overall player in the class. He's my QB4. The Ryan Tannehill thing makes a ton of sense. And I, having experienced the limitations of Ryan Tannehill for 6 or 7 years, that greatly concerns me as far as what his ceiling is and his ability to handle pressure effectively and extend plays. It never comes easy. It never looked easy. So he's an easy thrower in the quick game when the primary reads open and he's getting a favorable look and he reads exactly once before the coverage and he gets into his drop and his back foot hits and the ball's out. That's when it was easy. But as far as like holding the ball within the pocket or looking to throw vertically down the field or sliding and making a first arriving pass rusher miss, like all of those things just naturally looked hard. And that's a big red flag for me. That was where I couldn't vet those issues enough to get excited about, well, he is big bodied and athletic and he has the physical arm strength to push the ball down the field a little bit. And you can do some pretty vanilla, but you can do some quarterback run concepts with him. Those things weren't enough for me to get past what I think are some pretty fatal flaws. I think he can be an average starting quarterback in the pros, but I don't think you're going to win a playoff game with Daniel Jones as your starting quarterback.
Yeah, Daniel Jones also, for me, my number four quarterback. I don't want to kind of rehash a lot of the stuff that you said, but what does give him some appeal is that he does give you that underrated dual threat ability where he's a legit runner. Like, and that's going to really help him because I don't think he's really proven himself in a progression style way. And you know, consistency with ball placement down the field has been erratic. But when he can be his own check down at times and take off and really incorporate that into what he does, it kind of adds another layer to what could make him successful. And, you know, I know that we make fun of the stupid stuff like about him being David Cutcliffe's understudy and that he's, you know, got the right size, but you know, he does, right? And he has good intangibles and this there's a blueprint for him to be a quarterback in the NFL. I think he's one of those guys though that you get him and he's going to be one of the best 20 or 25 in the league, but you're probably always going to be wishing you had somebody else.
That's a great way to put it. Do you think having experienced how Josh Allen had some success in Buffalo this year, because you were quick to talk about the dual threat ability and how that can be a weapon, do you think that's, you know, giving you any extra optimism on Daniel Jones than maybe you would have had a year prior?
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Seeing that firsthand, seeing a high variance passer become difficult to stop because of what he can do with his legs was something that, you know, opened my eyes. And we've had some good discussions amongst our staff with the Draft Network in learning from Josh Allen this past year about, you know, look, I mean, it's not all conventional. He doesn't necessarily always win the ways that we want to see a quarterback win with, you know, efficiency and accuracy and that type of stuff. But all those types of things in terms of being able to move the chains and extend plays really do matter within the frame of, you know, moving the football and actually winning games. And so it's opened my eyes a bit to see that element firsthand and how much it can help overcome some of the concessions I think you make elsewhere as they continue to evolve as a player. And Daniel Jones has had some really impressive games where he showed that dual threat ability. I mean, obviously the North Carolina game this past year stands out, but yeah, I think that's another layer that's important and it matters. It's going to make his offense better.
Okay, Joe, I'm going to make my analysis on QB3 brief because I believe we have the same QB3 and I'd like to leave a little meat on the bone for you.
Yeah, we don't have the same QB3, but
we do not.
No.
Okay, well, my QB3 is Dwayne Haskins.
It's not mine.
Oh. You surprised me. Okay. So then I'm going to go into another long-winded rant. You're supposed to laugh there. Thanks. It hung me out to dry.
I'm just wondering how we're going to get through running backs in a reasonable amount of time here.
We will get through running backs in a reasonable amount of time. So Dwayne Haskins, my QB3. Prototypical... not a guy like even Daniel Jones, you can bank on his throwing ability, but Haskins' arm, I think, in the middle of the field really flashes and pops, and I think he's got enough velocity that he can really drive those throws in there and be effective throwing into the teeth of the defense, where I don't necessarily trust Daniel Jones with great consistency to do that. I think Dwayne Haskins, his best balls are between 11 and 20 yards, where Daniel Jones, I think, is between the line of scrimmage and 10 yards. So Dwayne's got nice velocity, like his deep outs and those far hash throws. Those are the kinds of throws that I think his arm velocity shows up. But I'm not a big fan of his deep ball. So he's kind of weird in that way, right? But a guy that's not super mobile, he can climb the pocket, and he's effective climbing the pocket. You've seen him sustain his balance as he does those things, but he's not a very effective runner. He's certainly not on Kyler Murray's level. He's not on Daniel Jones's level or even Drew Lock's level. So as the top four quarterbacks, I think he's the worst mover of the group, but he's better within the pocket than Daniel Jones. I think you're getting a solid starter, but I don't think you're getting a star in Dwayne Haskins.
My QB3 is Drew Lock from Missouri, and they are separated by 1/100th of a point on my board.
Oh, get the hell out of here. Yeah, I knew they were close.
It was really, really close. And I think when I talk about them, I feel like I like Drew Lock more, but there's part of me that can see some of that upside with Haskins as well. For Lock, you know, I really love how he grew this season, particularly as it went on. A guy that, you know, my first exposure to Drew Lock was that game against Florida in like 2015, where he was, I mean, his stat line was like 4 of 22 for like 20 yards and 3 interceptions.
He had the Nate Peterman line,
dude. It was, that was worse than anything Nate. I don't know. That was terrible. But yeah, I remember that was my first taste of this guy. And so whenever he kind of like became more of a name throughout like the years of him playing and talking about him as a prospect, I'm like, that dude that went 4 of 22 against Florida. Oh man. And Quincy Wilson and Tease Tabor both had pick sixes in that game. But anyways, there's appeal with Lock, and I like how he's gotten better. And I really kind of like his mindset. I like some of the chances he takes with the football. He does have the ability to hit throws down the field, and he's got some mobility to him. He's got a really strong arm that he can make every throw. You know, there's warts with him though too, right? I mean, like, you think about his mechanics. He's got some real, his arm slots, man, they are so funky to me. And even for a guy that's, 6'4", 6'5", he's got a fair amount of balls batted down at the line of scrimmage. And I think a lot of that's because where he slots his arm, he kind of has like sidearm to like three-quarter delivery a lot of times. Under pressure, you know, he really does drift quite a bit, and that's concerning. And, you know, he still is a work in progress in terms of working progressions and understanding coverage rotations and where to go with the football. So I think that he does have a ceiling as an adequate NFL starter. And I like his growth. That's where we're at with this year's quarterback class, where there's good, there's bad. You see a chance for them to be a starter and, you know, throw that dart and see what happens.
So I'll keep I have Drew Lock QB2. Lock is 39th on my board. When I first watched Drew Lock, I thought he was Paxton Lynch.
Ooh.
By the time I got to the end of watching Drew Lock, I'd upgraded to Jay Cutler.
Okay.
So like that's kind of the spectrum on the evolution of my progression, because my first exposures to Drew Lock this year, the first time I watched him, I watched like Alabama game, and he had a really nice touchdown throw against Alabama, but by and large that game got off the rails. Who are the other big time teams they played earlier?
Georgia.
Played Georgia, and he was trash against Georgia. I'm like, dude, this dude is wild. But you start with, I think, the Kentucky game and go forward. They played Florida in that stretch of games. Really settled down, really nice. The bowl game was terrific. You know, the bowl game was like the game you'd hope he would come out and play every single week. And that second half of the season with a new offensive coordinator, I got like a string of like 5 or 6 games, and I watched them in succession. I'm like, okay, like some positive momentum. He's doing things a little bit better. It looks like he's more comfortable in the offense. The arm talent's clearly there. It clearly flashes. So I think he's got more of a ceiling than Dwayne Haskins, because he is more mobile. I think he's got a much better deep ball than Dwayne Haskins does. He wasn't as consistent as Dwayne, but I think his ceiling's higher.
QB2 for me is Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State. You've summarized him really well. I think the silver lining with him and what really you get excited about is maybe just that there is untapped potential here. A guy that's only started for 1 year and he does throw a pretty football, and you know, his ability to slot those throws to all those talented receivers he had at Ohio State is something that I really appreciated, and I think he got better, and he did things that no other quarterback has ever really done at Ohio State or really in the Big Ten. Just a historically great season. And you just kind of buy into that idea that he can get a lot better, and there's upward momentum for him. And so, you know, I think that he probably has a higher ceiling than Drew Lock, but he probably also has a higher floor, if that makes a lot of sense. But he's worthy of a chance, and I think the unknowns about where he can develop and grow really get me intrigued with Dwayne Haskins.
Do you know who the last Big Ten quarterback was to get drafted in the first round?
Kerry Collins, 96.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, totally
all
crazy.
All these schools, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, none. It's like 20, 25 years
old. It's unbelievable.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I did some work recently on Kerry Collins, and I don't want to get off on a tangent, but what a wild situation he had when he got drafted.
You realize he went to my high school.
Oh, at one point during this offseason, we got to talk Kerry Collins.
Yeah, I got some good stories on Kerry.
We'll save that.
Okay. All right, so QB1's Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray for me is 30th on my overall board. So I understand the big play potential. I understand why there's some appeal, but I personally, if I was a decision maker, I would have a really hard time vetting some of the restrictions that his height does infuse into his passing game. And you can sit here and point me to all of the stats about lack of batted passes at the line of scrimmage as much as you want. But I think it's undeniable that Kyler throwing intermediate balls over the middle of the field, his accuracy is severely impacted because he has to throw over bodies. And he can throw around people, and he's got the arm talent to make some of those plays work, but it wouldn't be a player that I'm lining up to draft with the first overall selection. I am excited about his upside, but for a player like Kyler, the price would have to be right. This is not a player I'm going all in on and investing very heavily into, because there's a lot that can go wrong. And as somebody on the outside looking in, these draft assessments for us, they're risk assessments more than anything else. And there's a lot of incurred risk with Kyler Murray. He is super explosive. I love his arm talent, his ability to make some splash throws and generate a lot of zip with a quick trigger and get the ball out. All of those things are present, and they're really exciting. But the size, the durability, the issues in the middle of the field because he has to throw over bodies, and he was not an anticipatory thrower for a lot of the season. He had some fleeting moments of it, but this was not Baker Mayfield out here throwing the ball. By and large, Kyler was throwing to guys as he's seeing that they're uncovering and they're open. So I think there's a much more of a developmental curve with him as a passer as well, Joe.
Yeah, Kyler Murray, QB1 for me as well. I mean, just kind of strip it down to the basics. Arm talent, really good. Explosive athlete. And then there's just this natural playmaking instinct within him. I think he just knows how to generate offense, whether that's with his legs, extending a play, hitting a throw. I mean, there's just something about him. There's something natural about him. Now, obviously the size and, you know, his 1 year of starting experience is a major concern, and don't necessarily love the way he's handled himself or, you know, throughout his decision-making process with football or baseball and how he's kind of been with media. So, I mean, there's some red flags there for sure, but I just feel like there's a ceiling here, especially with the way the league's trending, for him to find an opportunity to allow him to be himself. Which is something the NFL is more open to than ever before. And I think he gives you a chance. And so certainly the most interesting, and you know, if he was what, 6 foot, would we even be questioning him as the number one overall pick? And so he's going to be a fun case study here, but certainly gives you the highest ceiling and the most intrigue and the most natural playmaking instincts of any quarterback in this year's crop.
All right, so top to bottom, I'm just going to read off the names. Joe, you'll do the same. We'll mention our table pounders, and then we'll go running backs, and we'll institute a shot clock for analysis that we're not keeping the folks for 45 minutes here. Kyler Murray, Drew Lock, Dwayne Haskins, Daniel Jones, Will Greer are my top five. Those are the only quarterbacks that I have in the top 100 on my board. Brett Rippon, QB6, Gardner Minshew, QB7, Jordan Tamu, QB8, Easton Stick, QB9, Tyree Jackson, QB10, Ryan Finley, 11, Jarrett Stidham, 12, Trace McSorley, 13, Jake Browning, 14, Clayton Thorson, 15.
I've got it. Kyler Murray, 1, Dwayne Haskins, 2, Drew Lock, 3, Daniel Jones, 4, Jordan Tiamu, 5, Jarrett Stidham is 6, Will Greer, 7, Tyree Jackson, 8, Ryan Finley, 9, Brett Rippon, 10, Easton Stick, 11, Clayton Thorson, 12, Trace McSorley, 13, Kyle Shurmur from Vanderbilt, 14, and Gardner Minshew at 15.
Wow. Hated Gardner, huh?
I did. Yeah, there's no question about it. I don't see a path, man. I just don't. But he's fun. Fun college player.
I think he's got a little bit more arm talent than what he showcased. I think he was just kind of mentally chasing that that offense a lot of times, kind of looked overwhelmed. The guy I'm pounding the table for on day three is Brett Rippon. He's QB6 for me. I have a fourth-round grade on him. He's 101 on the board. I think at the absolute worst, you're getting a rock-solid backup quarterback for his entire career. I do think he can be a spot starter. I think his arm's a little bit better than he gets credit for. I love the way he moves his eyes. Size and stature is a big concern for me there. He's shade under 6'2", and not carrying the most weight. He doesn't have the thickest frame, and he's not mobile like Kyler Murray to really extend plays. He could do boots and rollouts and get outside the pocket and throw the ball fairly well, but he's not a player who's built to take a pounding if he's within the pocket. But if you're only going to use him as a backup quarterback, or if you're going to use him in an offense that utilizes a lot of quick game and you can minimize those QB hits, I think Rippon's got a really, really nice arm and he's underrated.
For me, I'm going to pound the table on day three for Easton Stick and Trace McSorley as the next Taysom Hills.
Jesus. What a loophole.
Maybe even Eric Dungy, throw him into the mix. No, I mean, my day four or my day three, I have a fourth round grade on Tiamu, and I've talked about him already. And so he would probably be the right answer. I didn't want to duplicate that. You know me, I've kind of had a spot for Jarrett Stidham, and I know that maybe you want to unfollow me on Twitter for that, but I just think that there's at least baseline ability in terms of a backup here. I mean, he throws some pretty balls, man, down the field, the really clean mechanics. He's got some athletic ability to him. And I mean, obviously he's really folds under pressure, and he didn't rise to any occasion at all ever in his career. And, you know, all that stuff's kind of concerning, but I think that, you know, if you give him some time, you might be happy with him as your backup quarterback.
You got to do running backs first.
All right. Shifting gears to running backs. Mm-hmm. Pulling it up. All right. I was starting with RB5, right? We're trying to record a pod. We're literally.
Sorry. Working. Sorry.
All right.
I thought it was, had my mic muted. I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right. RB5 for me, David Montgomery from Iowa State.
Nice.
He's your thunder, right? I mean, he's the guy that's going to be downhill, great body control, balance, breaks through contact regularly. I think he catches the football well. There's just big concessions that you take there in terms of explosiveness and elusive ability. But, you know, if I'm looking for that complementary power back, and David Montgomery in the third or fourth round would be a very attractive option.
I can't get off the Dave Montgomery, Tevin Coleman thing that we talked about on the pod the other day. I really, really like that role for him. I think that's a home run role for him.
Yep.
My RB5 is Devin Singletary from Florida Atlantic, 65th overall player on the board. He's a bowling ball. He's built low to the ground. He's not super explosive, but his feet are so active and it really allows him to have this great contact balance. And, he's constantly shedding would-be tacklers in the open field. I'm a big fan of him in an inside zone type concept where that step frequency can show up. I don't think he's got the pacing to really press outside zone with great success at the pro level, but I do trust his vision and I like his contact balance and how low to the ground he's built. I think he could be a primary ball carrier at the next level. So third round grade, 65 overall for Devin Singletary.
My RB4 is Damian Harris from Alabama. Just kind of a very consistent player across the board. I mean, he's going to catch the football just fine. He'll pass protect. He's a banger between the tackles. He sees the field really well. He's quicker than fast. And so I do think that there's some moments where he can really accelerate quickly and angle away from tacklers, sees the field cleanly. And I just think he's just so solid across the board, and he's been that way for several years now for Alabama. I just feel like you know exactly what you're getting, and so maybe he doesn't give you that true home run ability as a lead back, but I mean, I just think he's as solid as they come. A lot of pace, a lot of good nuance to the way that he attacks defenses, and can you imagine him just not being at least a solid running back in the next level? So he's my RB4.
Okay, so my RB4 is 60 overall on the board. Also have a third round grade on this player, Justice Hill from Oklahoma State, guy who blew the doors off the combine, ran 4.4 flat and really explosive numbers. And I actually thought he was better in 2017 than he was in 2018, Joe. I thought the offense that they ran at Oklahoma State, you could tell it was drastically different without Mason Rudolph there and James Washington there. And, I think with that extra space, if you're a team that likes to space people out, Justice Hill's going to be a back for you. And that's what's just interesting with me for all of these backs, because they each have kind of specific roles that I would like them in. And Justice Hill, for me, I want him in outside zone. I don't want him trying to run between the tackles with great frequency. He's not over 200 pounds. I want him in space. You know, he's a guy that can probably do some kick stuff with you in special teams as well. I want to try and work him the ball in the screen game. But generally speaking, I just really like his explosive playmaking, his open field vision. And I thought he ran a lot tougher. Like, he's what people wanted Bryce Love to be, as far as like explosive home run hitter that can like break some tackles and has some urgency to how he carries the football. I think that's Justice Hill, and he's not going to be for everybody. And if you like to pound the rock, he's not going to be for you. But if you like to stress angles and get defenders moving laterally instead of coming downhill at you and win angles with speed that way, Justice Hill is going to be a great option for you.
Man, I like Justice Hill. I'm jealous that I didn't fit him into my top five.
Well, I actually had Montgomery for me was 6 and Damian Harris was 7. So,
well, and it's funny because my 6 and 7 are Devin Singletary and Justice Hill. So how about
there
that?
There you go.
Let's see if we have some common ground here in the top three. RB3 for me, Daryl Henderson, running back from Memphis. It's funny because he just wasn't the player I was expecting to see on film. I'd watched some Memphis games and certainly saw a lot of his highlights, but when I took the deep dive, I was expecting a guy that was a little bit leaner, more explosive, guy that just kind of outran people. And what I got was a guy with really good contact balance that I just was not expecting that to be a big part of why he was successful. And I think what pushes him down a little bit for me is that I think he's a little bit hit or miss with his vision. Obviously, a lot of light boxes there for Memphis, and he was in a shared role. And so he was really always kind of fresh attacking light boxes, and it really led to, obviously, his outstanding production. And so just feel like sometimes he expected almost to get a 100-yard run every time he touched the ball, and that made some decisions that I think were sometimes poor with the football. But you know, he does give you a lot of those explosive elements that you would expect. I like his footwork, really good in terms of planting outside his frame and being aggressive with his cuts. He strings together moves very effectively. And I think, you know, I think he does have a lot of upside, and maybe he could be a lead back in a certain situation, but you know, I think there's some stylistic changes he'll have to make at the next level to take advantage of what he does well.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a pretty similar progression to like what we've seen from Marlon Mack so far in Indianapolis coming out of South Florida, right? Where Mack wanted to bounce everything. So all he wanted to do is bounce runs outside. And, you know, sometimes it's okay to just like tuck that up in there and get 6 yards.
Yeah.
You know, And Mac really struggled his rookie year. He averaged 3.8 yards per carry, but he had 4.7 yards per carry and nine rushing touchdowns, 908 yards on 195 carries this past year for Indianapolis. So I could see where you're coming from that regard. Now, my running back three is Josh Jacobs, which I know you're probably going to throw something at me for this, but I have a second round grade on Josh Jacobs. I like his tape. He runs angry, right? He's very thick, very dense. He's like one of the last players that I would want to see coming through the gap, and I'm the last line of defense, and he's got a full head of steam, and I'm sitting 12 yards off the ball, and I know I have to try and tackle him. Obviously, some of the concerns are the production and the usage, and I thought there was some consistency issues with him as well. I was hoping to get a little bit more physical effort from him in pass protection than what I got. The reps that I saw in pass pro from him were kind of passive, which surprised me for a guy that's so physical as a runner. So it's just a little bit of an attitude adjustment there, I think. And that's not to say he has a bad attitude about it, but getting him to be more assertive in those situations, I think, will go a long way. And the two guys that I have above him were guys that I thought gave me more dynamics all around on all three downs, which is why Josh ended up being RB3 for me, 57th overall on my draft board.
My RB2 is Miles Sanders from Penn State. Stashed behind Saquon Barkley for a few seasons, then he took over in 2018 and really had a great season for Penn State. I think he does everything. He gives you those power elements. He gives you those elusive traits. He pass protects. He catches the football. Can win inside and outside. And so I really like his skill set. I think he's one of those true multifaceted guys that project as a lead back in the NFL. And there's not many of those in this year's class. Now, the one thing I do need to get taken care of here with Sanders is the fumbling issue. I think he has something like five fumbles last year. And you can just tell by the way he handles the ball, he's just a little bit too loose with it. And so the good news is, like, other players have been able to overcome that and make those problems disappear. But Sanders needs to, because that's a killer if you cough up the football. So I think he gives you baseline ability, actually plus ability across the board in every trait that you're looking for. And, really, really proved his playmaking ability this past year. Now he has a little bit of that Darrell Henderson to him as well, that I kind of see him occasionally ignoring, a crease right in front of him, kind of taking those side doors that aren't always available to him, looking for, to make those big plays. And that's something that we actually saw that from Saquon a little bit too. So I'm not going to like harp on that too much, but that was something that I did notice on his film. But yeah, RB2 for me, if you miss out on Josh Jacobs, who's clearly RB1, then you have a nice consolation prize in Miles Sanders.
Well, you did a really nice job summarizing RB2 Miles Sanders. So I'm just going to say, I agree with you, Joe. He's 55 on my overall board and running back to Miles Sanders.
RB1, Josh Jacobs. I just love his style, man. I think he's super competitive. And the way that he finishes runs, just love it, man. He's if you think he's going out of bounds, he's not. He's going to fucking plow you over. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that.
You are now, yeah.
That was bad. I think he gives you the size that I'm looking for. He catches the football, inside-outside ability. I love that he's entering the league with very little wear and tear on his frame. I mean, people want to say, well, he wasn't RB1 for Alabama. Well, neither was Alvin Kamara, and that seems to be just fine. I like that he has that low usage. I've got enough reps on film to understand what type of player he is and what he can do. So if you extrapolate those traits, you've got a really nice player across the board. And for me, let's go. Let's get him. Let's let him be our bell cow and anchor our running attack.
I love when Joe drops F-bombs on the show. It happens like twice a year. So it gets me fired
up. It's fitting for that. Okay, RB1
is Darrell Henderson, Joe. Sorry. I lost all shock appeal here because somebody left us that bad review and complained that I didn't reveal who running back one was when it came up like a month ago, and I told us the next day. So what smart-ass comment did you have there?
Is our respective RB3s are the other person's RB1. It's kind of interesting.
Yes, and we all have the same top seven.
It's the same, just a different order.
Just a different order.
That's interesting.
So that's fun. I guess I'll read through my full list. We've kind of summarized all these guys pretty well. Henderson, Sanders, Jacobs, Justice Hill, Devin Singletary are 1 through 5. Montgomery is 6. Damian Harris is 7. Divine Azigbo is 8. Benny Snell is 9. Travion Williams is 10. Alexander Madison from Boise is 11. Rodney Anderson, 12. Elijah Holyfield, 13. Miles Gaskin, 14. Alec Barnes, 15. Caron Higdon, 16. Ryquell Armstead, 17. Mike Weber, 18. Bryce Love, 19. LJ Scott, 20. Darwin Thompson, 21. Jordan Scarlett, 22. James Williams, 23. Alec Ingold, fullback from Wisconsin, 24.
All right, ready? Here we go. I'll rip through mine. 1 is Josh Jacobs. 2 is Miles Sanders. 3 is Darrell Henderson. 4 is Damian Harris. 5 is David Montgomery. 6, Devin Singletary. 7, Justice Hill. 8, Mike Weber. 9, Rodney Anderson. 10, Alex Barnes. 11, Elijah Holyfield. 12, James Williams. 13, Dexter Williams. 14, Travis Homer. 15, Divine Azigbo. 16, Benny Snell. 17, Miles Gaskin. 18, Alexander Madison. 19, Ryquell Armstead. 20, Bruce Anderson. 21, Travion Williams. 22, Darwin Thompson. 23, Caron Higdon. 24, Bryce Love. 25, Jalen Moore. 26, Tony Pollard. 27, Kadri Olsen. Finally, 28, Jordan Scarlett.
Too many running backs this year. I felt there was like legit 6 guys. I'm like, damn, I'm going to leave this guy off the list.
Yeah, I wish I could have got – there's some guys I really wanted to get to, like that Kareth White from FAU. I wanted to do Darren Hall from Pitt. I mean, but I'm like, how many can I possibly do? So
the guy – I'm surprised Travion Williams was that low for you.
Me too. I wanted to like him more.
Also, Alexander Madison, who is the day 3 guy I would pound the table for. He's really fun. He's got a nice – secondary burst to him when he comes up onto the second level. I really liked what I saw from him as far as how he addresses the first arriving defender in space. He is the hurdle king. I think I saw him hurdle dudes on like 6 or 7 different occasions.
It actually works too. Year. Yeah.
Yeah. And he there was one he hurdled a guy on like the 6 and landed on the 3 and then like dragged 2 guys into the end zone for a touchdown. He's got really, really fun tape. I think he's got a natural instinct running style, and he's got a promising build for a guy that can take some volume as a ball carrier. And obviously the concern here is playing at Boise State. The speed of the game is a little bit different when you're going up against top competition, and they really dictated terms to a lot of teams up front, so he didn't have to make chicken salad too much. So that's kind of my unknowns with him, but I think he's just got a really nice natural running ability.
Like him a lot too. You do not like the guy that I'm going to say. I have Mike Weber. He was like 18th on your list.
I had a 5 on him. It's not like I didn't like him. All just like I thought he tested better than I thought he would too.
Yeah.
So there's that.
I just really appreciated what I saw when I watched his film. I mean, he's been productive for the last 3 years for Ohio State, and I think he's pretty nuanced with the way he carries the football, sees the field clean, good pace, rhythm, and balance in the way he presses the line of scrimmage, like his spatial awareness. I think he gives you all the tools that you need in terms of being a pass blocker and catching the football. And I just think like he's as boringly solid as you can get as a running back prospect, and think he'll be a day 3 guy that winds up, you know, carving out potentially a top 2 role for a team. So I mean, maybe it was just one of those deals where I'm watching all these guys and I'm getting through, you know, some of these lower tier prospects. And I got to Mike Weber's tape and I'm like, wow, that's an NFL runner. And so I grew an appreciation for him. And sometimes I think this happens with guys that have been like staples on teams for a while. We get a little bored with them, but I think that's what's so appealing with Mike Weber is that he's boringly solid. I think he's just going to be a good pro.
There you have it, folks. The backs are done. Quarterbacks, running backs. It only took us 40 minutes. So we did okay. We got to tighten up the screws a little bit, but we'll get it cleaned up for wide receivers and tight ends on tomorrow's show. Make sure you swing over to thedraftnetwork.com. We have a lot of great stuff coming out. Joe just put out his offensive tackle rankings if you want spoilers for Monday's offensive line show. As I said, the 2019 NFL Draft Prospectus is there. It's 328 pages, 300 scouting reports. It's all the same reports that are on the website, but it's compiled into one document that's really easy for you guys to consume if you want to have something that you can flip through on draft day. So,
also, before we let you guys go, I do have some really exciting news. We are doing a 2019 NFL Draft Show. We have mentioned this before, but we have ourselves some friends who wanted to be a part of the show. So the 2019 NFL Draft Show from the Draft Network is being presented by Under Armour Rush. Really excited and thrilled, really, to have Under Armour step in and showcase their new Rush line of athletic wear. We'll have some more information for you guys on tomorrow's show about the Under Armour Rush line specifically. It's rolling out today. And so in the meantime, why don't you guys Google it, check it out, and ask yourself, what would you do with an extra 1%?
Kyle Krabs at Grinding Tape signing off with Joe Marino at the Joe Marino. Thanks, as always, for listening to the Draft Dudes podcast.